AAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have mostly clear skies and 24 degrees your temperature. That's also been our overnight low here at the KJN studios. And we had a high yesterday of 55 degrees, which was just 4 degrees shy of our all-time record for that date. Today we look for a high near 55 once again under partly to mostly sunny skies. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Iowa State Patrol reports a woman died on Friday morning during a collision in Page County. 31-year-old Cassie Ray Williams of Stanton, who was wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene of the accident at 1907 Redwood Avenue. Officials say the crash happened as a 2008 Ford Taurus driven by Williams was southbound on Redwood Avenue at around 8:33 a.m. The car rear-ended a 2018 International 7400 truck, which was backing into the residence at 1907 Redwood. An Omaha man was arrested on multiple charges following an incident early here this morning at Red Oak. At 2:25 a.m., Red Oak police arrested 43-year-old Jason Ryan Richmond of Omaha, Nebraska, in the 400 block of East Reed Street. Richmond was charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of carrying weapons, and going armed with intent. Richmond was taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $5,000 cash bond. Red Oak police were assisted by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office during that arrest. Officials with Windstream Communications report the company has deployed fixed wireless technology to deliver broadband speeds up to 100 megabits per second to homes in Audubon and Greenfield. Windstream says it's using fixed wireless technology as part of its participation in the FCC's Connect America Fund initiative, which is designed to support network upgrades in rural areas that would otherwise not be economically feasible. Fixed wireless is not a mobile service. Pole-mounted antennas transmit a broadband signal to receivers at each eligible customer's home or business. The performance of a fixed wireless connection is comparable to wired solutions. Brad Hedrick, president of Windstream Operations in Iowa, says fixed wireless technology is an alternative to traditional cable networks that enables Windstream to deploy broadband service more quickly and cost-effectively in rural areas. Hedrick said also, "We know customers want faster speeds, and we are committed to delivering them." Across Iowa, Windstream has invested $28 million in infrastructure improvements so that households in a dozen cities and communities can now enjoy faster internet speeds. To inquire about availability, and you can go to their website at windstream.com. Firefighters from Kimbleton, Elkhorn, and Audubon responded to a barn fire Thursday afternoon a couple miles east of Kimbleton. Former Kimbleton Fire Chief Bill Allen told KJAN News the call came in at around 3:38 p.m. from the farmstead at 1170 Highway 44. Allen said the homeowner was conducting a controlled burn in a pit when some of the embers apparently flew up and caught the roof of the barn on fire. Kimbleton crews arrived first on the scene and were able to obtain a quick knockdown of the flames. They then entered the barn and put out some smoldering hay that was left in the loft. Allen says there really wasn't much structure damage, thanks in part to the slow start the fire had. Crews were on the property for about 2 hours and no injuries were reported. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin A. Strobes reports the Fremont County K-9 unit on Thursday evening conducted a narcotics investigation into the delivery of methamphetamine in Tabor. As a result of that investigation, 27-year-old Matthew Witt of Essex and 25-year-old Trey Perry of Corning were arrested for possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver a Class B felony. They were arrested after deputies located meth, packaging equipment, and scales. Witt and Perry were transported to the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center and held on $25,000 bond each. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office was assisted by the Tabor Police Department during their investigation and in conducting the arrest. Several scholarships are available to area students through Cass County Health System and its affiliate organizations. Cass County Health System offers a $1,000 scholarship to Southwest Iowa students pursuing a 4-year degree in a health-related career. Deadline is April 1st to apply. Cass County Memorial Hospital Auxiliary provides grant and aid scholarships for students pursuing a health-related career. Deadline is April 1st there as well. And Cass County Health System Foundation is offering $10,000 in scholarships to students who are enrolled and have been accepted into a nursing or medical doctor educational program. The scholarships were established by a bequest from Louis and Elsie Hansen. Deadline is April 1st to apply there as well. Applications available on the Cass County Health System website at casshealth.org and can be turned into the Human Resources Office or the Guidance Office at any Cass County High School by the respective deadlines listed. For more information, you can contact Dan McCurdy, Public Relations Coordinator, at 712-243-7405. The Griswold Class of 2020 is collecting 100 bags with 25 pairs of shoes each, gently worn, used, and new shoes. The shoes will be used to create micro-enterprises in developing countries like Haiti, Ghana, and others. The Class of 2020 will also receive $1,000 to fund a junior class prom in the process. You can help by collecting a bag with 25 pairs of shoes and returning them to any of the drop-off locations by today. Drop-off locations include the Griswold Community Middle School High School, Houghton State Bank in Griswold, Rolling Hills Bank in Griswold, and United Group Insurance in Griswold. Law Enforcement Appreciation Day is next week, and 7 Iowa offices of LifeServe Blood Center will be taking blood donations from supporters of the men and women in blue. Shay Willis, spokeswoman for LifeServe, says the Blue Blood Drive is Wednesday, and it'll feature some great swag and appropriate after-donation treats.
We have a super cool T-shirt that all of our donors will receive, and we will actually be giving away donuts in our canteen as part of our refreshments that day, thanks to some very generous donors.
That event is being co-sponsored by Iowa COPS, Concerns of Police Survivors, which assists surviving families and affected co-workers of law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty. Donors with all blood types are welcome as blood demands change from day to day.
If you go to LifeServeBloodCenter.org, we update that every single day. We tell visitors how many days worth of a blood supply we have. We also tell visitors to that website what types of blood we need.
LifeServe facilities taking part in the special event are located in Ames, Des Moines, Fort Dodge, Marshalltown, Mason City, Sioux City, and Urbandale. Donating one pint of blood may help to save as many as three lives. Willis says it usually takes about 45 minutes to an hour to give blood.
If you've never donated blood, the actual donation process should take just a few minutes. But what some people don't always understand is that you have to answer some questions. We have to make sure it's safe for you to give, but it's also for us to make sure what you give is safe to provide to a patient in need.
LifeServe is the sole provider of blood to more than 120 hospitals in Iowa, South Dakota, and Nebraska. To schedule an appointment, call 1-800-287-4903 or visit LifeServeBloodCenter.org. Iowa's Republican governor and the Democrat who was just sworn in as the state auditor on Wednesday met privately Friday afternoon. Governor Kim Reynolds tweeted afterwards that they two discussed ways they could work together to better serve the people of Iowa. Rob Sand says it was a meeting he looked forward to.
The way I look at this is really simple. Iowans sent both of us. They are perfectly well aware that we belong to different parties, and yet here we both are. I think we have an obligation to focus on areas where we agree and can do good things and get those things done in order to serve the state.
The chairman of the Iowa Republican Party has predicted Sand will weaponize the auditor's office for political gain. Sand says he promised voters he'd focus on finding new efficiencies in state government and cracking down on corruption.
I am so sick of people who will criticize someone simply because of their partisan affiliation. There was a press release from the Republican Party that called me an aspiring career politician. Chuck Grassley is the leader of their party. He has held elected office for 60 years, since 1959. Do you think they're going to call him a career politician? It's just ridiculous. It's why people hate politics. It needs to end.
Sand made his comments during taping of the Iowa Press program, which aired last night on Iowa Public Television. And state tax collections were nearly 5% higher last month when compared to the state's tax haul during December of 2017. Jeff Robinson is a senior fiscal analyst for the Iowa Legislative Services Agency.
Iowa net general fund revenue continues to grow at a healthy pace, aided by the automatic Iowa income tax increase that results from a federal income tax decrease.
That happens because of the Iowa income tax deduction for federal taxes paid. When federal taxes decrease, the deduction shrinks, and Iowans wind up paying more in state income taxes. State tax collections for this past 6 months are more than 7% higher than during the same period last year.
Tax reduction legislation enacted by the Iowa legislature in 2018 will begin to impact the Iowa revenue stream in January.
The current state fiscal year that ends June 30th, experts predict state tax revenue will grow by 4.7% for the entire 12-month period. That's a look at some of the latest in state and local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Edna B. Reiner Witzman, age 68, of Eldon, Missouri, formerly of Atlantic, died December 19th at her home. Memorial services for Edna Witzman will be held today at 10 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Janice Ray Miskimmons, age 81, of Carroll, formerly of Audubon and Manning, died Tuesday at Mercy Medical Center in West Lakes in Des Moines. Funeral services for Janice Miskimmons will be held on today at 10:30 a.m. at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Carroll. The Don and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Carroll has arrangements. Terry L. Lauritsen, age 73, of Exira, died December 29th at the Exira Care Center. A celebration of life for Terry Lauritsen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home Exira has arrangements. Frederick Olson, age 79, of Harlan, died December 26th at home. A mass of Christian burial for Frederick Olson will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Berdina Chase, age 71, of Carson, died December 27th at the Griswold Rehab and Healthcare Center in Griswold. A celebration of life for Berdina Chase will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. And Janet Rutledge, age 79, of Ankeny, formerly of the Messina area, died December 19th at her home in Ankeny. Celebration of life services for Janet Rutledge will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Cecilia Madonna Susanna Moeller, age 90, of Griswold, died December 18th at the Griswold Care Center. Memorial services for Cecilia Moeller will be held today at 1 p.m. at the Plymouth Presbyterian Church in Lamars. Reekin Dune Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Aaron Michael Younger, age 35, of Kansas City, Missouri, died Tuesday in Kansas City, Missouri. Celebration of life services for Aaron Younger will be held on Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Newcomers White Chapel Funeral Home in Gladstone, Missouri. Robert Leroy Morse, age 84, of Woodbine, died December 29th at the Rose Vista Home in Woodbine. Funeral services for Robert Morse will be held on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reekin Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. And Nancy L. Madsen, age 68, of Elkhorn, died Thursday in Omaha. Funeral services for Nancy Madsen will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.